Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you, and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio, open God's eternal Word, and study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God together today. We're continuing our study on the subject, This Is What Christmas Means to Me. And again, I emphasize, I'm much aware of all of the commercialization that there is about Christmas. I'm also reminded that there is much hypocrisy about Christmas in the sense that many people will become very religious for about a week's time here at Christmas season, and then forget the Lord Jesus Christ for the remainder of the year. But I do want to tell you, Christmas means something to the child of God. It's not the commercialization, it's not the gifts, it's not the tree, it's sure not Santa Claus to the child of God. But Christmas is Christ. Christ is the reason for the season, and we celebrate his birth, God becoming flesh, dwelling among men. We celebrate his birth at Christmas time. Again, I submit to you, I do not know what month Christ was born in, and I do not know the day of the month that he was born, and it really doesn't matter to me at all when he was born. But the real important thing to me and to every child of God is the fact that he was born. It's not when, but who. That is important. Who is this baby that was born of a virgin, laid in a manger, grew up among men, died on the cross? Who is he? He's God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been looking for the last several broadcasts at the word Christmas, and we've been doing an acrostic, allowing each letter to give us a thought about Christmas and the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at the letter C, and we're reminded that that speaks of his coming down from heaven. Philippians chapter number 2 gives us a great picture of this, how he descends from the form of a sovereign in verse number 6 to the form of a servant in verse number 7. And then again, he steps down from the form of a servant in verse number 8 to the form of a sacrifice. We see his condescension, him coming down from heaven. Then when we look at the letter H, we're reminded of his hanging on the cross. Friend, you cannot dissect the Lord Jesus Christ and just have his birth. When you think of his birth, you think of his life. When you think of his life, you think of his death. When you think of his death, you think of his resurrection. When you think of his resurrection, you think of his ascension. And when you think of his ascension, you think of his second coming. You cannot separate the message of Christmas. The message is the message of Christ. So we saw him coming down from heaven. We saw him hanging on the cross. He's God's sacrifice. He is our substitute. He hangs there as the Savior of the world. Then we look at the third letter, the letter R. And when we see that letter, we're reminded that he was raised from the dead. Thank God death could not hold the Son of God. I pointed out to you that he tasted death's poison for us. He tested death's powers. He tore up death's prison, and he transferred death's paradise. Thank God for that. In the letter C, we saw him coming down from heaven. We saw him hanging on the cross. We saw him raised from the dead. But then with the letter I, we saw him instructing his disciples. And we saw him there as he instructed them concerning the Comforter. They were to tarry at Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. Then he instructed them concerning the commission. They were to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So we see him coming down from heaven, hanging on the cross, raised from the dead, instructing his disciples. And then we looked at the letter S and we saw him sitting on the right hand of God. And I mentioned to you that his sitting down speaks of three things. Number one, it speaks of a finished work of redemption. He will never have to die again. The altar of God is satisfied with the blood of Christ. No more sacrifices are required. God's altar is completely satisfied by the one offering of the Lord Jesus Christ for sin forever. So when he sat down, that speaks of his finished work in redemption. But number two, sitting down also speaks of his faithful work in representation. You see, my friend, he sits there today at the right hand of God the Father, faithful on the job. He can be trusted. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 25, he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints of God. And my friend, I do not care what hour of the night it may be or what hour of the day it might be. You come to him and you'll find him faithfully on the job doing that God has set him there to do. And let me remind you again, the Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. My friend, there is no other human being on earth or anywhere else, living or dead, that can gain you any access to God or can serve as a co-redeemer or co-redemptress to help you get to God. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You see, when the Lord died on the cross, the priesthood ministry of the Old Testament ended, but the priesthood ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ goes on today. Somebody said, I thought the priesthood went out of business. No, just move the offices to the third heaven. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So sitting down speaks of a finished work in redemption. It speaks of a faithful work in representation. But then it speaks in a future work of his return. One day he'll get up and come down. And when he does, the trumpet will sound, and we'll get up, and we're going to go up. He's going to sit down at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand before him. And my friend, there is a future work for him. He will get up. He sits there today, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. The finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful work and the future work. Let me just mention this before I progress on in our study today. It's interesting to study the Bible, the things that the Lord Jesus Christ did finish and fulfill. They pass over the stage of the Scriptures after Christ came on the scene. For example, the place where Christ was born, Bethlehem, means the house of bread. And Bethlehem is never mentioned again in the Scriptures after Christ was born. You say, why, preacher? Because God presented his bread from heaven. And if we eat that bread, we'll hunger no more. There's not another mention of a manger in the Bible after Christ was laid in a manger. The manger being the place where the sheep's food was placed. And God placed the bread of God from heaven, the food for his sheep, in his manger in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do not go to Bethlehem and obey, but we come to him who is the bread of God from heaven. Eat of him and never hunger again. This is amazing. After Christ was born, there are no more babies born in the Bible. You say, why, preacher? Because he was the Christ child. He was the baby that everyone had waited for. But I'll tell you something else, friend. You see, after Christ came on the scene, your first birth doesn't matter. That doesn't gain you anything with God. It's that second birth that's important. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And so, my friend, your first birth may be important to you now, but it will not be important to you when you stand before God at the judgment, whether at the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment. It's not that first birth that counts. It's the second birth that will make the eternal difference. When the Lord Jesus Christ come on the scene in the Bible, there are no more genealogies. You say, why is that, preacher? Because it doesn't matter who your parents are. It does not matter who your brothers and sisters are. You see, my friend, your pedigree does not gain you 1 ounce of favor with God, and neither does it place you in the any more condemnation before God. It doesn't matter who you are, who your parents were. If you'll come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ as a hopeless, helpless, hell-bound sinner, God will save you, birth you into the family of God, write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you'll have a place prepared for you in heaven when you leave this walk of life. Well, I've spent all of my time just about it today reviewing. We see the letter C, Christ, coming down from heaven. H, hanging on the cross, R, raised from the dead. I, instructing his disciples. S, sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God on high. On the broadcast tomorrow, we'll pick up with the letter T and see him triumphant over his foes. But let me take the last moment of the broadcast today as we go through this season and ask you, friend, what does Christmas mean to you? Are you like the innkeeper? Do you have no room for the Lord Jesus Christ during these holiday seasons? Oh, my friend, listen. For you to reject him now means you will be rejected of him one day after a while. If you will receive him now, he'll receive you when you leave this walk of life. As you enjoy the holidays, do not get so wrapped up in the commercialized aspect of Christmas that you forget the real reason for the season. What greater experience could you have this Christmas than for you to have a Bethlehem experience? When, if I could say it this way, a baby Jesus being born in your heart and in your life to live in you and be your Savior, your Lord, your God. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. I do want to take this opportunity and wish all of you who listen to the radio a very Merry Christmas and a Christ-centered New Year. Let me also wish a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to the staff and management of all of the radio stations that carry the broadcast. We're all laborers together with God, and I trust that God will use our labor to his glory. As you go through the holiday season, don't forget the reason for the season. Keep Christ in the center of all your Christmas activities. As you do your giving, I trust you'll remember the Harvest Time broadcast. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.